You are listening to the 1420 Sports Podcast, four beer with a sports talk and a whole lot more, with your hosts, Brent Radlinski from the Yankee Tavern North and Dave Van Robies from the Dutch Oven. Both of us are in Lethbridge, Alberta. Let's get into it.
1420 Podcast, Thursday, August the 20th. Jesus, 26th already. The lights are coming down on summer. Dave, we talked about it last night a little bit, but it's officially dark. It's 9:27 at night here. Show 131, 1420 Sports Podcast golf team. We went down without a fight tonight. The dream is over. We got beat by a formidable opponent in Davis Dodge team. They smoked us, but it was fun nonetheless. Dave, first off, what are you drinking tonight?
I have in my hand, I went out and bought some cans of East Coast IPA. I just had my first sip. It's pretty nice. It's a good thing. It's brewed out of Calgary by the OT Brewing Company. Like, yeah, you know, this isn't government sponsored in Alberta because East Coast IPA, they would probably reject it.
There you go.
Say no, we're good.
I'm sticking with the He Ain't Heavy. He's my brother from Medicine Hat from Hell's Basement Brewery. I had a few left from yesterday. I didn't get anywhere last night. So I had some of those left. I've got some Bud Lights cooling in the fridge that I might get into tonight. Days off are starting for me, Dave. I'm heading to Salmon Arm on Saturday to pick up my dear mother. She's been out in the west coast of our great country here, visiting the brother and sister. So you're going to bring her back to the homeland. She said she's a little homesick. First time she's been home, away from home for this long in her life, she said. So going to bring her back. Dave, today on my way back from Medicine Hat, I stopped at McDonald's. A guy was rushed to get back to Fort McLeod for golf. Went with my usual quarter pounder with cheese, two cheeseburgers, fries, and a pop, the meal. Noticed the bag was a little bit light. Opened the bag up. One burger. Only one cheeseburger. The quarter pounder was there. There was no fries. And the second cheeseburger was not in there. And there was no straw. If I wasn't in such a rush, I might have went back, but I don't know if I don't know. Dave, how far away do you, like, what's your drive-through etiquette when you, do you check the bag before you drive away? Do you, and if it's wrong, do you turn back? Like, what's your go-to move with the drive-through?
It really depends. It was quite some years ago. Like in the winter, I go through drive-through a lot more, like specifically for coffee. Tim Hortons is my go-to. And I ordered a double-double and I was served a, no, I don't. Like I have two cream and they gave me a double-double.
Oh, yeah.
And then so you drive away and then you have that first sip. And then when that sugar hits my mouth and coffee, it's ruined.
Yeah.
You might as well have just spit on it. And then so the lineups in the winter are so big all the time. I phoned them and said, I just had a rage at QuickBit. I never went back and they, well, just come back. And I go, no, I'm busy, man. Like just get it right. And whoever did it, let them know. It's different when I'm with the family. And like, cause when I'm with the family, we're usually hitting it to hit the road. So there's a 3-hour roadie in front of us. We check the bag because there ain't no, like once when, like, cause when dad's
you check behind the bag, do you check the bag before you pull away from the window or do you check the, like you drive up and then check the bag?
No. Like before, like I still have eye contact with food server.
Okay.
The bag is good. Like, cause when you order like for three people at a fast food, it's usually two or three bags.
Yeah.
So I pass it to Kaylee, who's sitting beside me, and she's like immediately in. Yep. Because my wife also has dietary concerns, so she has to make sure her shit's fine. Mm-hmm. Because I'll tell you what, hungry wife ain't a happy wife. Like
hangry.
That woman,
hangry. Oh,
she can get hangry, and she's passed that on to my son. Like I can go a day without eating. I won't be happy about it, but I can do it.
Be all right.
Those two, I don't want to be around them if they're hungry.
Yeah, I got to say, Dave, when I reached in the bag and I went, fuck, there's no fucking fries. I actually swore out loud as I was driving myself. I was disappointed. I was really disappointed because the fries kind of make up as you're snacking, driving down the highway. It's something easy. You don't got to pay attention. They go all over the truck, whatever. But anyways, that was my low light of the day.
When you get your quarter pounder, then do like when you're driving, do you open up the box and put the fries in the half?
No. I leave the fries in the bag. And I just
popcorn bag. Yeah. Okay.
That way, don't make too much of a mess. But anyways, we'll get on to tonight's show a little bit here. It was
Nuggies. Why don't you get?
I had no nuggies. I'm saving those for Nuggie Challenge next weekend at some point. we'll get on that later on tonight. Deanne, we'll get to her on the air maybe. Talk about the Nuggie Challenge.
First snowfall. So if it snows on Wednesday, like whatever, as soon as it snows, that Sunday we have the Nuggie Challenge.
The Sunday after it snows is Nuggie Challenge.
Yes.
Done. Okay, sold. So it could be the way it felt today. It could be like this Sunday.
we need it. It won't be, right?
Yeah. Anyways, Trevor Lawrence was given the starting job in Jacksonville. It was going to happen no matter what. I have a problem with especially in football, but it can also happen in hockey, where these first overall draft picks or top five draft picks, they end up starting or playing a prominent role on their hockey team or football team. Basketball and baseball, not at all. Basketball, they get to some pretty good seasoning in the college ranks. I have a bit of a problem with football throwing guys out to the wolves, because if a team gets the first overall pick, that means they're really bad. And I personally think they're setting these kids up to fail. It's a lot of work and it's a lot of effort. I mean, Peyton Manning went 1-15 or 0-16 his first year. So it does work out for some. You go the other hand, Ryan Leaf, there were some other kind of issues with his career. But you look at a lot of first round quarterbacks over the years, Heisman Trophy winners, they are, I personally think they're set up to fail.
There's so many variables in football more than any other sport. Like first of all, like your coaching and your offensive coordinator, right? This, sure, you're good in college, but like the NFL now is so fast. Throws you can make, ground the DBs can cover. It's just, and the speed and strength of the defensive lineman trying to rip your head off. It's an adjustment period, and you know, you got to learn it sooner or later. And why not now? Because we invested a first round draft pick in front of you, and we got to see what we got. Like you're not buying the brand new car, the sports car, to park in the garage. You're buying it to drive it. Let's drive this thing. See what it can do.
But you're going to drive the car around the block a little bit first. You're not going to take it on the 401.
Well, and that's,
you know what I mean.
Like, and that's part two. What's your offensive line like? Because you know Sam Darnold with the Jets, like that franchise is such a tire fire. They were so bad. He had no one to throw to, and he had no one to block. So of course he's not going to succeed. So
you know, and I feel the same way with hockey players. Like hockey, like those kids come out of junior and they're going first overall, and they've known they've been going first overall since the time they were 15 years old, and they're better than the guys, their peers, and all of a sudden they're not the best player even on their team, let alone in the league or whatever, you know what I mean? And it's
exactly like I think everybody's good here.
Like yeah. Everybody's good here. Everybody was the best player on their minor hockey team. Everybody did this, everybody did that. And a lot of these kids, they become fair to Midland players, the first overall picks. Not many guys end up being superstars. Like that Lafreniere kid, he was a rock star at the World Juniors a couple of years ago. He played with the Rangers last year and didn't hear a word about him.
You know, whereas that kid that played for Minnesota or whatever, that Russian, he was I didn't know his name, and I still couldn't tell it to you right now, but he just lit the league on fire last year.
Like, do you think, like with more so with hockey than with football, these kids who get drafted in the first round, they're 17 years old, and then they end up living in New York City. That's a bit of a culture shock to begin with. And all of, like, yes, the team takes care of things, and they're not running amok usually, and they put them up with an older player, and they, like, not billet situation, but they get under someone's wing. Football, you get that 3 or 4 years of college behind you, and you do play in some big games. So I think a college or a football player has a bit of an advantage compared to a hockey player who gets drafted first overall.
Yeah, like when you mentioned now, like, going to the big city too, I think that depends a lot on the player's experience and the maturity of that player. Because, you know what, I think a player, the best player playing for University of Michigan or Boston College, and them going to a big city like New York or Philly, they're going to be a lot more adjusted than the farm kid playing for Swift Current.
Fuck's sakes. I'm swearing because the Oakland A's just tied it up. The Yankees blew a 6-2 lead for their 12th win in a row. And
tell me Chapman gave it up.
Fuck.
Tell me anyways, Chapman gave it up.
No, was it Chapman? No, some other. Chapman's not there. Sorry, Dave, sorry for interrupting.
But, you know, I think that makes a huge difference. Exactly. Yeah, the program you played in. Because you're being the big man on campus in a hockey mad, like University of Minnesota or in Boston College, Boston University, being the stud there, like you're the stud of a 20,000, 40,000 student university, right? Yeah. Swift Current, Moose Jaw, and Prince Albert don't have 20,000 between them.
I don't think the town of Swift Current has 20,000 people.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, PA, Moose, and Swift, you know, so, I don't think they have 20,000
like
altogether.
The culture shock right there for a kid like that, I think it'd be pretty tough. And I don't – I'm old enough and you're old enough to remember when guys would, no matter what, no matter where you got drafted, you would spend a year in the minors. Or you would go a junior. You weren't guaranteed to play. And I think football should maybe somehow do the same thing because, man, oh, man, it's tough. I mean, like you said, you don't buy a new car to have it sitting in the garage, but you also don't want to ruin the new car in the first week because confidence is a fine thing, and it can be really tough. You can lose your confidence really, really quick.
I think NFL football is such a different animal though too, because the programs, the styles, like this is, they're not, of course they're using it, using a new offense, and there might be different lingo, but so many college programs now are playing a pro style offense. Yeah. I was listening to a podcast when I walked the dog tonight, and Nate Burleson was on it from Good Morning Football. And he was talking about it. He played at University of Reno, he said, which was a pretty small college, and like there was, you couldn't get in trouble.
Have you ever been to Reno?
I have never been to Reno.
Don't.
It's the biggest little city in tech in the world, isn't that? They're
yeah. Me and Danger and I rolled in there once
on purpose.
We were going to San Francisco for a bit for a couple of baseball games, so we stayed in Reno for a night. Anyways, go on.
Anyways. What Nate was talking about is when he got to, like, he was from Seattle, ended up playing his college ball there. He was a first-round draft pick. And when he was a rookie and just meeting all these guys that went to University of Florida, Alabama, University of Michigan, and he was saying that these guys, he was talking to them about the university experience. He goes, like, we were the shit. Like, we were the shit.
Yeah.
Like, people like throwing like opportunities and up of any kind at them. He goes like, and you know, these universities have 40,000 students. He goes, yeah. So you're at this on this campus for 4 years of your life. And you don't meet anybody. It's just like every face is just there and they all know who you are.
Yeah.
And so it really should be in the operative word, prepare you for that next step, because you're already one of these people that People want to know. People want to do things for. People want to be your friend. And you're also going to have guys around campus who are going to use you for their own purposes.
That's right. Yeah. No, it makes sense.
So I think football is different in that it actually, the experience of college football life might prepare you better for the professional life, more so than hockey. And I would imagine basketball is the same thing. But, like, you know, basketball, you need seasoning, right? Hockey, you don't always need seasoning, but it probably best, like, I would say, what, half of first-round draft picks go back to their junior team or college team?
Yeah, if that, yeah.
Whereas in football, I mean, it's done. Football, I think, and NBA, it's done.
Like, I think after in hockey, after the 10th overall pick, they're just picking the next best player. They're not picking for need. It's just name. Like after the first 10.
Is there 10 rounds? I thought they cut it.
No, I mean as a the first 10 oh, top okay. 10 players. Like
yeah.
A team might draft out of necessity in the first 10 guys. And then after the 10th overall guy, yeah, he's a first round guy, but this guy went 21st. Like the 21st pick to the 11th pick. It doesn't make a big difference.
Yeah.
Teams in football will draft out of necessity for a position.
Yeah.
Whereas hockey will pick the next best player.
Well, because that's what they say, right? Draft for talent, trade for position.
Yeah.
But I think that must be changing. Like, I don't know that because you know what, you know, depending on your team's needs, right? If it's a coin flip between a centerman or a D-man, like then you just go in and think like with the D-man, is he a left shot or a right shot? Because we're light on left shots.
Yeah.
Oh, and then like, well, that's a thing. And we're deep at center. You're going to take a centerman or a D-man before a right winger or a left winger every time, I would think, after the second round.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you take your flyers on goalies and hope they develop.
I would honestly never. Unless a guy is a Carey Price, I wouldn't draft a goalie in the first round ever anymore.
It's well, but how do you know they're a Carey Price? Because Justin Poggi was Carey Price before Carey Price, right?
I wouldn't go that far. Poggi was, yeah,
he was awesome. That
he had two good weeks. He had two you good know, weeks.
Well, he brought the hit. No, he played for the Hitmen. He went to the Memorial Cup with them. He won the Canada World Juniors, him and Tuukka Rask.
Anyway.
Who would have thought? They got traded for each other. Toronto drafted Tuukka Rask, not Boston.
Yeah. 1420 podcast, Four Beer, the sports talk, and a whole lot more. Check your bag before you leave the drive-through. That's Dave's advice on the night because, man, I was disappointed I didn't have fries. Anyways, 1420 podcast, we're everywhere you get your podcast. Dave, Siri. What other streaming thing is there other than Siri?
There's Siri. There's Amazon. There's Google.
But
that's like, the voice. But, was, oh,
like if you like, there's Alexa's who?
Alexa's is Amazon.
Is there any other girls or females that other than Siri?
Well, Alexa? You know, you just say hey Google. Yeah. Hey Google.
Yeah.
And then hey Siri.
That's it.
Yeah. And like, I think you can rename them, right? You can call them anything you want.
What would you rename them if you could?
Sally, probably. Hey, Sally.
Hey, Sally. Yeah. Why is it always a female name? Like, isn't it like? I was gonna say something.
Tell women what to do.
Because men like to tell women what to do. Deanne said, yeah.
Well, what would
that's why they never listen.
Deanne, you're kind of on the air here. What would you rename Siri or Alexa? Would you name him Bob?
Karen.
Because women like to tell women like telling women what to
Karen
do.
Karen likes to get to the bottom of things.
Karen gets to the bottom of things. Anyway, 1420 podcast, Four Brewers Sports talking a whole lot more. Thanks for listening in.
And if Karen, you phone the manager, I am gonna be some kind of pissed.
Karen
always wants to see. Karen always wants to talk to the manager.
You can get shrunk down.
Yeah. A little. No, just wait here. Go ahead. Sorry.
You can get shrunk down.
Can you hear us, Dave?
Yeah, I can hear it. We're still recording.
Oh shit. when the season first started, the San Diego Padres were they were a team we reckoned with. Their with their beautiful brown pinstripes with the yellow trim, they were supposed to be contenders for the National League West. Then you look at the Toronto Blue Jays; they were supposed to take the next step into hopefully a wild card spot, not maybe to win the division. But as the season got longer, and these young players for the first time in their lives played 162 games, because last year was the COVID year. A couple of years back, they were all in the minors. They'll play 100 games, 144 games, and then you get your days off. And then when they play college or wherever they played, they don't play as many games. Dave, do you think that we talked about the other night, how we call the baseball season could be too long. Was the baseball season just too taxing for teams like San Diego and Toronto? Because they're young guys, just they don't got it right now. Like Tatis Jr., he signed for a long time and he's really faded away. He was going to be an MVP candidate, probably still in there. Vladdy for the Jays, he's gone into nowhere land, and same with Bichette. Is the season too long for these young kids?
I think, yeah, I do. I think it's part of the seasoning process. I think it's part of the learning to be a pro. 162 games is a long time. Sure, you can get hot, and sure, you can ring off 15, 20 games in a row, but it's, I won't say every team, a lot of teams have that, not 15, but like a lot of teams can win 15 out of 20, 15 out of 21. You can get hot. But to sustain consistent, not even excellence, just consistent performance, it's a grind. And young kids, it's, you got to learn. You got to learn. Like, it's not, you gotta ride through these emotional ups and downs. You just gotta approach every day and get your hacks in and contribute every single day. And emotionally, kids, like, you know, when you're 21, you're high and low. You have to be able to have the mental maturity and your approach at the plate and not get down on yourself. And I think these young teams like the Jays and the Padres are learning that right now. You know, it's a grind.
If you look at the team, the Cubs team that won in 2000, what was it, 16, their first World Series in 120,000 years, whatever it was. They had a good young team, obviously, Bryant and Rizzo, and they're all gone now. But then they also had Grandpa Rossi catching, and now he's the manager of the Cubs. Lineup construction is huge, and no matter what sport you got, and having Rossi on that team as a calming influence and having some professionals is very, some older guys, I think it's very important, because you could have all the talent in the world. If you don't have between the ears and have somebody telling you how to be a pro and how to approach your day to day and don't get too high, don't get too low, it don't matter. So having your roster construction, having some veterans, it helps, because you know what? At the end of the day, that veteran probably is going to come through like Ross did in the World Series. He hit a home run in Game 7, I believe. You know, the Yankees, they have a bunch of young guys. Brent Gardner, who I'm not a huge fan of anymore. I think he's stuck around a little bit too long, but he's doing some things right now that the younger guys aren't playing now for the Yankees, and Gardner's still there because they've been through the grind for a long time. And I think it's a huge importance to just not – the best – talent doesn't always win.
Because, you know, the talent, like when we say the best talent in a 20 game span, or the best talent from game one, the most consistent talent from game one to 162. And that's a lot. And, you know, like, even though you hate, you were so down on your Yankees and you were ready to divorce them.
I'm wearing the hat now, but anyways.
They've been around the block. Like, most, like 90% of that team has been in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right? Huge.
And that helps a lot. So you know what it takes. Boston, they're feeding as well, but that's also a young team, right? They don't have a lot of
Yeah, they were playing above their
tried
heads
and true.
A lot. They're playing above their heads a lot, and now it's coming to the last 50 games. They're starting. They won tonight, but it's such a grind. And it's 6 months of playing every day, plus travel, plus, and I think the biggest thing is you got to have not only a good supporting cast, you got to also have guys in minor leagues who can come up and fill a role for a couple of weeks. And if your system isn't there, you aren't going to win in baseball.
And yeah, you need depth. You need depth. You need obviously elite talent, but you need depth. You need players to fill in. Like the Jays too. It seems Stringer, like when he's in the lineup, they're electric, and they obviously miss him. Like it appears to me that he's a leader on and off, like with the stick.
Yeah, when he plays, they're phenomenal. But he's been
injured. They're on fire, like you know. And when you have a money player, just ask Ricky, leading off the inning, it helps. It leads a spark, and I think an electric, dynamic all-star leadoff man really can add a lot of spark to a team, like offensively.
It changes the game completely. Like you watch, I'll go back to WCBL because I'm up close and personal when I'm on the field, and there's a kid who comes up and you recognize the kids and you go, yeah, okay, this is going to be a good at bat because the kid he knows the game a little bit and he can get on base, and that changed the game huge when you mm-hmm. have those guys that can find a way to get on base. It helps a lot. But when you got guys struggling and a pitch that they're hitting 400 feet on a consistent basis in April, come August, they're not. It changes the game completely.
Yeah, and now instead of like driving that thing in the gap, you're fouling it off.
Yeah.
Or like you're just missing. But you know that's what baseball is. It's all about just missing or not.
An inch here, an inch there can be different between 250 and 300. There's no doubt about that.
Speaking of which, when we're like, I'll look for
it. I love speaking of witches.
There was on baseball, I think I saved it. There was a guy, like a major leaguer, a name I knew, who swung literally 10 seconds before that ball hit.
He read that changeup really wrong. Yeah, it was.
I've never seen a major.
It's not what you want. No, that was
like he was done his swing before it hit the plate.
Dave, we'll get off this subject for half a second here. Driving home today, heard in the radio that Teddy Bridge over troubled water.
Oh, Denver Broncos starting.
Denver Broncos starting quarterback. He's following in the footsteps of Tim Tebow, John Elway, and the likes. How is Bridge over troubled water going to do this season?
Well, I've always liked him. He got bit by the injury bug, right? And that's what happened. He was Minnesota's quarterback of the future. They showed some faith. They signed him. And he destroyed his knee in the preseason on a fluke injury. And then now he's bounced around. He was with Carolina last year. He was with New Orleans the year before that.
Yeah.
And thank Christ the Broncos didn't throw a shit ton of money at – who was it that we signed? Joe Flacco gave him a cup of coffee for $30 million, gave – God damn, another smelt, way too much money. I like Bridgewater more than that. This Drew Lock. It's his fucker walk year. I'd wish that Drew Lock would get the starts right off the hop. But I don't mind Bridgewater. He totally shit all over Carolina where he was last year. He said we didn't even practice two-minute drills. But on the flip side of that, I have zero faith in Vic Fangio, the Broncos head coach. I don't know what he's doing.
You're talking Egyptian to me, man. I don't even know.
Well, let's just say I'm cautiously –
Optimistic.
Yeah, I am not taking the safety net off.
Bridge over troubled water. Teddy. Yeah, Ruxpin. Whatever.
He's a good guy.
Name the three most famous Teds.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Roosevelt.
Ted Danson.
Danson.
Okay. That's a famous Ted, isn't it?
No, the three most famous Teds. Is Ted Danson one of the three most famous Teds?
Well, for me at this very point, yes. Ted Danson and Teddy Ruxpin.
Teddy Ruxpin. Deanne, you got three famous Teds? Danson made yours too, eh? Ted Williams, Ted Danson.
Oh, yeah.
And who, Deanne?
Roosevelt.
And Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, Yeah.
Ted Turner.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
So Roosevelt and Danson, eh?
Yeah. Well, what's yours?
Roosevelt, too. I'd go Williams, Teddy Ballgame, Ted Williams. Ruxpin, for some reason, comes to mind. I don't know why. And now Danson's in my head, so I can't dance with myself. So I can't get away from that. So that's three. I don't know.
Neither do I. Well, Ted Roosevelt's a pretty big deal.
He was a pretty big deal. Teddy Roosevelt was a pretty big deal.
Yeah. I sat in a bar in San Antonio where Teddy Roosevelt recruited guys to fight for the Rough Riders.
Jesus.
You know, the Rough Riders was an American thing before they were two Canadian
football teams. I did not know that. I learned. Learned something. Like, there's a little bit of knowledge from the 1420 podcast team tonight that the Rough Riders were actually an American thing before there were two Canadian football teams.
Yeah. Like, so apparently like to fight, I think it was to perhaps coerce the indigenous populations in the Southern United States to maybe let people settle there. I think that's what it was. And so he would go to Teddy Roosevelt before he was president, would go to this bar and like get people pissed and say, hey, sign up. Oh yeah, that's a good idea. And then the next day they gave him a gun and a horse. And
I don't know if this is still a rule, but this was back in 1994, I think, one of the years that Ralphie got elected here in Alberta. It was illegal to have a bar open during the day on election day, because that's what would happen. The guys who were trying to get elected would get guys all hammered up at the local saloon and they'd vote for him. Because I believe
you're right.
Because the day that Poozer's first or second was born, we wanted to go for drinks or something and we couldn't go in Fort McLeod anywhere because the bars were closed.
Until the polls
were closed. And that was as early as 94, I believe. Yeah. So that was like not that long ago. So,
it would have been a thing.
Yeah, it was quite funny.
Because we all make the best and most sound decisions after a couple.
Every sound decision I've made has been after a couple, Dave. 1420 podcast, Four Beer with a Sports Talk, and a whole lot of good decisions. We'll talk to you in a second.
It's not a good decision unless there's a couple regrets.
That's right. America's pastime, it's peanuts and Cracker Jacks, but the biggest thing at a baseball game is a hot dog. People love hot dogs, but there was something reported, Dave. I don't know if you saw this. It was on in Time magazine. 35 seconds off of your life for every hot dog you've had. Joey Chestnut would be dead. So I got to audit this whole thing. How many minutes or how many years of your life would you have lost? Or because 35 seconds is a lot. Or hot dog time. Every time I have a hot dog, say at home here, I have a double dose of dog. Like there's two hot dogs there to my house. One's not enough. Two's too many. You know, one of those deals. But that seems like a pretty large number. And why are they studying something like that? Like if you're eating dogs, you're not really too concerned about your health.
Well, yeah, no, but you can overdo it. I know you can overdo it.
You shouldn't eat a 12-pack of dogs. I get it, but
I never crave a hot dog ever. Like,
if it's in front of you, you'll have it though.
Maybe not. Like I've said, like you want a hot? Nah, I'd rather not. But like from the age of 25 to 45, I don't know if I ate 20 hot dogs. I don't know if I had a hot dog a year.
Come on,
I've eaten more hot dogs since my son's been alive.
Yeah,
than in the previous 20 years, and my son's 11, so there's no doubt I've eaten more hot dogs since he's been alive, because he likes hot dogs.
Well, they're good.
They're not bad, but they're not good. I'm a sausage guy. I'll take a sausage down whole.
So does this study is just hot dogs and not sausage and what else?
I believe it has to be just hot dogs because of all the nitrates and like it's really like when you look at it, that doesn't look like meat. Like whereas the sausage is actual a casing with
meat. But if it's an all beef wiener is a good wiener, man.
Well, when we say all beef, you know, like that's hoof and asshole and eyeballs, right? Like define beef now. Does beef, when you say it contains all beef, so that means it just came from this cow.
Well, I would hope they wouldn't lie about, like, say it's horse meat from Fort McLeod.
But it's all beef. But then, you know, like there's some intestines, some lungs, some. There's a lot of organ meat.
So you're going to audit the term all beef and say it should be all cow.
That's what I think it should say. I think it should say it's all cow.
Do you think that would deter people from eating the hot dogs if it's all beef compared to all cow?
The saying's been like it's all lips and assholes like since I was wee. Right, yeah. like a hot dog is just the lips and assholes, and so I gotta believe that because, yes. But there's better quality wieners, you know. Like as I've gotten since my son is, I have found out we actually buy two different kinds of wieners. It's not the Kirkland brand. My son loves the Kirkland brand. The other brand, I think it's Country Harvest or something like that. You actually have to peel them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Those are pretty good. Those are really good, actually.
Yeah, you get them out of the bulk bin, I guess. And that's a good one.
Well, they're not bug, yeah, but they're joined and you have to cut them and peel that little pot.
That's a good wiener. I don't like those fucking Schneider's ones in the package. Like they're little, you get them in this 2 a.m. when you're passing by the 7-Eleven where they're gonna bag of them and you have too many and whatever. But I just find that number to be awfully high because Joey Chestnut can eat 70 hot dogs in 10 minutes or whatever it is. So when he does that, he's losing 35 seconds of his life. That number is high.
Well, you know, maybe once it's digested, because you know it's been around for a long time. You should nitrates preserved and prepackaged isn't good for you, but it's delicious. I pity the poor pig. That tasty, tasty, tasty animal. The ham is all smoked and nitrates. The bacon. And then you take that pork shoulder and how do you prepare it at home? You smoke that thing. And I don't know this, but I got to guess when you're like, if smoking cigarettes isn't good for you, I'm guessing cooking your food with smoke.
Well, smoking a cigarette and smoking food are two different types of smoke, I'm assuming.
Without a doubt, I get that. But like it's adding that flavor, and I believe that to be the nitrate flavor. That is just so goddamn delicious. And also too, the pork that makes it even tastier is adding salt. Oh, I love salt. I love pork. I love smoke in my hand or in my meat.
you gotta watch how you word that. I had something to say, and I totally forgot what it was.
How good pork is?
Bacon. I like bacon. I do, but I think it gets a pass. I think it's a little overrated. Like it gets people talk about it too much.
You might be right there. Yeah,
it's good. Bacon there, bacon this, bacon that. There's bacon bits. Just fucking bacon.
You know, like bacon wrapped filet mignons, like you see those all the time.
Yeah.
Right? You know what? The filet is pretty damn tasty piece of meat. You don't have to wrap
bacon wrapped scallops. It ruins the scallop because you know what? All you taste is the fucking bacon.
Yeah, and now it's chewy.
Bacon does not need to be included with everything.
Right. Like bacon. Yeah. They add bacon to stuff to make people order it. And I 100% agree with that. But you know what? Like I'll take bacon has its place, but it's not my all time. Like I don't need bacon.
I don't one thing because Deanne does it better than I do. She cooks bacon in the oven. I cook it on the stove in a frying pan. So the whole house smells for 3 days afterwards.
Yeah. Like when I do bacon, we either do it. We have a microwave dish. We do it in the microwave. And if you watch it, like it does well. But if I have to cook bacon for like if we're having people over and we need a lot of bacon, I do it on the barbecue on a sheet pan
to keep it outside. So the house smells like bacon for 3 days.
There's
more. I think we're finding more downfalls to bacon than we really wanted to.
Oh, it's still absolutely delicious. And I'm not going to be smirched. Like, so if there was a piece of bacon, a Boston cream donut, and a hot dog. And a hot dog.
A piece of bacon, a Boston cream donut, and a hot dog all on the table.
Yeah. And you get one of each. Yeah. And you only get one bite.
So there's a hot dog, a Boston cream donut, and a piece of bacon.
Bacon.
I'm not doing bacon. So not enough.
No, but you only get one bite. You only get one bite.
One bite. I'm doing donut.
In Boston cream in it?
I love donuts, man.
I see, and I think I'd take a bite of the. I think I'd take a. For sure, number one for me is bacon. Number two, for sure, is Boston cream.
Three is the hot dog.
Yeah, with that, like, by a long shot.
Well, now that it's 35 seconds off your life, you would never have another hot dog ever.
But if it's only one bite, then it's only like 7 seconds.
7 seconds, good enough. Anyways, there's our scientific research on the history of the hot dog and everything else in the 1420
podcast. When was the last time you had a hot dog at home and you ran out of buns and so you had to wrap it in a piece of bread, like, kid style?
Oh, fuck, not that long ago.
You wrapped it in a piece of bread.
I think we did. Deanne and I went to Mojo's. We were walking back, we were hungry, whatever, get some hot dogs, and we ran out of buns and wrapped it in something. And the hot dog wrapped in a hot dog, I don't know what the heck happened there. We ran out of buns. Hot dog wrapped in a hot dog a few weeks back.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I was a kid, and I still do it to this day, like when we do have the hot dogs. You ever put Cheese Whiz on your hot dog?
I like that. You know what's good on a hot dog? We'll get off this quick. I love talking about hot dogs. That jarred cheese sauce, the old that Dutch Tostitos cheese sauce.
Thing? Oh, like the
spicy
Dutch
sauce?
One? Yeah.
And you put that on a dog? Oh, it's like an angel pissed on your tongue, man. It's so good.
Oh, see, I love Cheese Whiz on my dog. Cheese Whiz and a tiny little river of ketchup. And if there's sauerkraut in the fridge, that gets on it too.
Some peppers. Oh, yeah. You can load that thing up, eh? Yeah. I do miss coming out of the bar at whatever time of night.
And that Spanky's.
Spanky dogs. That. Yeah, what was the place in the hat? What were they called? The hot dog place?
But they had the cart. Cart outside
the hot dog outside the bar. Oh,
that so was good. Just a money printer.
Oh, and then they're all over the cab when you get out. Just an atrocity, really.
And they stink. Who knows how much they change that water in those.
Hopefully never. Adds to the flavor, man.
They should make hot dog wiener gravy like they do sausage gravy.
Wiener that water soup. Wiener water soup. Anyways, 1420 podcast, 4 Beer with a Sports Talk, and apparently a whole lot about a hot dog. Back to back, Jack's belly to belly. Wednesday, Thursday this week for stupid, crazy reasons. Life gets in the way and all that stuff. But anyways, segment Dave started quite some time ago now. Eight months ago, it could have been, who knows. But the would you rather, we're going to do some rapid fire would you rathers here. I'll do one, Dave does one. We'll see how it ends up. We've never done this before. It's flying by the seat of our pants tonight. Dave, would you rather win the Little League World Series or lose in game seven or the lose the College World Series.
You know what? I think I would rather win the World Series as a 12-year-old because your whole life's in front of you. It doesn't mean your career is over. It means you do have a chance perhaps to go on to lose the College World Series because then that's an accomplishment in and of itself. But, you know, you win together. What's that saying? You win a championship, you walk together forever.
Forever, yeah.
Yeah, you will have friends. When you're 50,
you'll have a reunion. You'll talk about it. One guy moved away. This guy sold insurance at his hometown. This guy did this. This guy did that. You win. You're a champion forever. Right.
I agree.
Yeah. And the thing about but the thing about it is that if you win the Little League World Series, you're 12, and those are the best friends you'll ever have. It's like Stand By Me for that summer. For that summer, you're the best friends you'll ever have.
Yeah, it's bonding. You spend if you're winning the Little League World Series, you're spending an absolute shit ton of time together.
So
right,
no,
everything.
They're showing a bunch of highlights, so that's why I brought that one up. Go ahead, Dave.
Did you see that highlight? The two kids on the grass, and the kid showed his buddy, like a big-breasted woman on his phone.
No, I didn't see that.
I'll send it to you. It was hilarious. I'll post it on 1420 Dave too. It's a really funny clip. Who wins? Fight to the death. No guns. John McClane or Jason Bourne?
Oof. Jason Bourne.
I think so too. He's like the close confines fighting, like those fight scenes and that. Yeah.
Jason Bourne.
McClane is tougher than nails.
Yeah. But Bourne had a lot more stuff going on where he had more resources and things and stuff going on in his head, I think. Where Bourne,
like using a pen and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas McClane, you couldn't punch him hard enough.
No. He was the tomato can. He could take a lot of hits.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I go Bourne. The Bourne Identity was the first one?
I believe so. But that was awesome. Like, I love... Like, that's a movie, if I come across, I'll watch a Bourne.
I didn't because the first time I watched that, I didn't think anything happened. It was just odd. Like, it just, there's a lot of stuff, but nothing happened. Well, I'm very deep, Dave.
No, you're not deep.
Like a well.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to add anything to that.
Let's see, another would you rather rapid fire? Would you rather not dress in the Stanley Cup Finals and get a ring, or win a conference championship and lose in the finals and play a full-time role?
Ring, ring, ring. All day, every day. When at the end of the day, when my career is over as a professional athlete, regardless of how much money I made or did not make, once again, you win a championship, you're walking together forever. I want to ring.
Do you honestly think when they bring out the black aces on the Stanley Cup and there's a bunch of, who the fuck's this guy? If I'm Steven Stamkos, he probably didn't do this. He's probably a really nice guy, but he's not passing the cup to Brent Radlinski of the black aces. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you're saying. But when the Cup makes its summer tour, Brent Radlinski, the Black Ace, gets a day with the Cup at the Green Bridge.
We discussed that in some a past 1420 podcast for sure. Rapid fire, would you rather, Dave? Throw one at me. These are all off the cuff, folks, by the way.
Who wins the fight, John Rambo or Rocky?
Rambo or Rocky? Who's tougher? Who wins the fight? Jesus Christ. Well, Rambo got shot with bullets.
No, he got shot at.
He got, he had to have been hit in one of those, one bullet must have hit him.
Well, I don't know if
running through the mean streets of Hope, BC back in 1982, he would have got hit. He would have got hit by a one bullet had to have hit him. Who wins a fight, Rambo or Rocky? Like Rocky, you couldn't punch him hard enough, eh? Like Apollo had him down, Mr. T had him down, Drago had him down.
Who didn't have him down?
He was down.
Yeah, whereas John Rambo really never went down. Never went down. Because he never got shot.
As much to my chagrin, I hate to say it because Rocky's one of my favorite all-time characters. Rocky II is the best movie ever. I got to say Rambo beats Rocky.
I think you're right because he fights to kill. Whereas Rocky is bound by the rules of, was it the Marquess of Queensbury rules of boxing?
Yeah. Yeah, Mickey's yelling at him in his ear and he's pissed off. Hey, he'll knock your block off, Rocky.
whereas Rambo was like the deep-seated personal vendetta.
Issues, grievances, major concerns, his coconut. Yeah.
Yeah, you ain't knocking that
guy. I haven't watched a Rambo movie for a long, long time. Maybe I should, I don't know.
I don't remember. Like maybe they're
Who am I kidding?
They're too ultraviolet to put them on. Like I never stumbled across a Rambo. Right.
Would you rather in your first professional game? It's a three pack. Throw for two touchdowns and rush for one. Score a hat trick or hit for the cycle.
What about that kid last week? His first major league perfect start.
And I got a no hitter and he's up for the Rick Award this week. Clay. Yeah,
that's what I want. I would throw a no hitter. I would throw the no-hitter on my first professional start. Number two would be the quarterback. Throw for two, run for one.
Yeah. But the problem you got there is that then you – with the this is total non-consequential because it's probably not going to happen, but the Twitter hate you would have the next week when you suck. Hear me out.
Because
everybody's got you on their fantasy team after week one. They dropped this guy and they picked up Dave Van Robe's quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, who threw for two, rushed for one, 240 yards passing in the air, 80 yards rushing, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden you got the blue check mark by your fucking Twitter account name. Why? And then you just come out the next week and just shit it. Like, just shit it. I don't know.
But as a professional athlete, could you imagine with such a dominant first day performance, how much rope you're going to get?
Yeah.
Like you can suck for two or three games after that because you got like you've shown.
Well, I did this once. I can do it again.
And everybody saw it, right? You saw me. You saw me. Everybody saw me. Yeah. Like it was in the USA Today. Like I fucking did it.
Like whereas hitting for the cycle, that's more luck than skill.
Without a
doubt. I mean, it's skill, obviously, to do it.
Yeah, but the planets align because who hits triples, right?
Yeah, like who hits for the cycle? Like,
yeah, it's that's planets aligning.
Yeah.
Would you rather climb Everest or swim the English Channel?
Sounds like a lot of work for either of them.
Oh, shit, ton of work.
Would you rather climb Mount Everest or swim the English Channel?
See, I think like the.
Between the two of them, I would rather masturbate with a cheese grater. that would be. I don't think I could do either. And Everest seems like a rich person's thing. They just and then they get some guy to carry your shit. If you're swimming, you got to do that on your own. I'd rather swim the English Channel.
And in the English Channel, like once you start it, it's a day. Where Everest is like a month commitment, right? You gotta like.
And like I said, someone else is carrying your shit.
Yeah, and you gotta acclimatize and like, well, what? It, yeah,
you get to base camp or something, and
go and you literally got to hang out there for a week so your body can get used to the thinner oxygen. You got to go to the next camp and hang out there for a week and walk around.
If you're climbing Everest and you got to go to base camp to get acclimatized to the thin air, if you pull out a pack of Demorier, they say like, get the fuck out of here.
No, I think you could probably sell Demorier.
You got a carton of Marley's in your back pocket thinking like, fuck that.
If you're going
up the hill, having a dart hanging out of your yap and that guy's carrying your shit, or has he got one in his yap too?
Well, you know, that's what you say. What are you doing? I go, I'm acclimatizing.
Sherpas? They call them Sherpas, right?
Yeah, yeah. My body's used to less oxygen because I'm a smoker. Like, and so every base camp, I'm just going to smoke one pack a day less.
The Sherpas having darts going up Mount Everest anyways. trying to think of one more here. I think we've talked about this one. Would you rather... Okay, this is a twist. Would you rather catch a baseball on opening day
as a stands, fan,
foul ball, home run, whatever,
yeah,
or get a puck at the Stanley Cup Finals?
I think I'd rather take a puck. I'll take the puck because A, it's a championship game, and B, it's, yeah, because I think more baseballs are brought home by fans than pucks. Because of the netting. And I also think if it's a Stanley Cup final, that's way more important than opening day in my mind.
To me, a puck's a puck. I don't know. Something about a baseball. Well, that's just me. Like I'm a baseball dork, obviously, but.
Well, something about a puck. There's something about a baseball. They use a lot more baseballs in a game than they do pucks, right?
Maybe.
Oh, for sure.
I don't. Yeah, you're right. I'm being
honest. I don't know the answer, but I can't believe
there's not 100 pucks going out of play. There's no doubt.
You know, that's another point. Like, you know, if you go to a baseball game, you go to a hockey game, you have a chance of walking away with a souvenir, ball or the puck. No one walks out of an NBA game with a basketball.
No, I think they asked for those back. If the basketball goes in the stands, they want that back. Hey, I got this ball. Like, yeah.
Yeah, and like in a hot and football, like you see the occasional fan get their hands on one or get one given to them.
Funny story. Fuck, 2000, goddamn, who cares what year it was. Me and my brother were at USC Notre Dame, and a guy... He was throwing it out of bounds because it was a broken play. Didn't help. They're in the red zone. And the ball came, and we were sitting front, first or second row in the end zone there. And Mike, it was in his hands, and he dropped it, and it bounced off his hands and went over top. So I don't know what would have happened, but it was in his hands. He had it, and he's Canadian.
There's a reason he's in the stands.
He's short. Canadian and Ukrainian, so he wasn't catching that ball, but that was his one shot at glory.
Hands of rock.
Yeah, hands of rock, and there you go. But it was a lot of laughs. Anyways, Dave, fun show tonight, a lot of laughs. We didn't get too sports-centric, but we had some laughs, and my weekend starts here, and your weekend keeps going from here. So what do you got going on?
Just TCBM last weekend of summer. Labor Day is the end of summer, and that is 10 short days away.
Yeah.
So just TCBing, let's get to the long weekend and make some plans and bid summer adieu.
Adieu. It's over. It's getting, it's at that point. Anyways, 1420 podcast, four beer with a sports talk and a whole lot more. Dave, take care of each other, but more importantly, take care of yourself. We need you around. Keep your stick on the ice, and what else?
I don't want to see Jim swimming at any high pitches.
Jimmy, don't swing at high pitches.
Hey, good luck in the big smoke in Vancouver, Jimmy.
He's moving out on Saturday morning, so he's close.
Head down, ass up. Don't take any shit.
There you go. Take care. Comb your hair. Have a good night, folks. We'll talk to you on the weekend.